Welcome to the Easy Yoga Podcast with myself, Gemma Neese, Easy Yoga founder, author, yoga coach, and relationship coach. It is my pleasure to have you here and for you to feel energized, calm, happy, and for you to have the perfect relationship with yourself, your partner, and your family without seeing a family therapist, changing your personality, or leaving your job. You will learn techniques and things to help you guide you through a better life through health, meditation, yoga, journaling, nutrition, and all things yoga, for you to have the life you deserve and crave, and for you to love yourself on a soul level. Thank you so, so much for being here today, and I am so grateful and so full of love to have you here. Enjoy this next episode. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode from Easy Yoga, all things relationships, yoga and well-being. And today my special guest is Dr. Claire Spencer. Claire and her friend Helen Normoyle co-founded My Menopause Centre. Claire qualified from Cambridge University. As well as her role of clinical director at My Menopause Centre, she currently runs an NHS menopause service and is a GP partner in a practice in Leeds. She is also part of the British Menopause Society menopause trainer and is involved in educating GPs about the menopause transition through talks, lectures and seminars. So welcome, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Yes, it's going to be exciting. So today we're going to be talking about menopause because, as I should have said as well, you are the clinical director of My Menopause Centre, which is a menopause thing in, where are you? In Leeds, based in Leeds.
Yeah, so I'm based in Leeds, but My Menopause Centre is a website with a huge amount of evidence-based patient information on all about the menopause, what it is, what to do about it, all the symptoms. There's a really useful menopause questionnaire which you can work through, and it gives you an indication as to if and where you are in that menopause transition. And then I run a team of 10 lovely doctors, and we have a private menopause clinic attached, which is actually online or telephone. So we haven't actually got a building. So I'm in Leeds, but everywhere else is around the UK.
Wow. And there's so much going on at the moment to do with menopause. It's the thing to talk about, which is amazing, which is great, because I don't know, 10 years ago or something, maybe more, people just didn't talk about it. And now it's a really big thing, which is great because it does need speaking about.
Yes, that's right. I mean, when I first started as a menopause specialist in around 2018, really the GPs, well, there were many GPs who didn't have so much knowledge in the menopause. And it really is changing now. And we're talking about it in the workplace, talking about it at home a lot more. So, which is great. It's been so in the media that people are learning about it, what it is. Yeah. And how to find help.
And it is just the next life stage, isn't it? From childbearing age, it's the next kind of thing that you go through, you move through, unless you've had cancer or you've had a hysterectomy, I suppose.
Yeah, I know, that's right. So the menopause will be a natural transition phase. Well, it'll happen to every single woman, but as you say, it can happen precipitously if you have your ovaries removed in surgery or if they stop working due to medicine. So yeah, it is a natural transition phase for most, from reproductive years into post-reproductive years.
Yes. And how would you kind of say what menopause is? Like, how would you explain what it is?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I see the menopause as a transition. So if you think about it, from puberty, our ovaries start making predominantly estrogen and also some progesterone and a little bit of testosterone. And that estrogen particularly rhythmically flows up and down every month, and so does progesterone. But if we focus on the estrogen, and for most women, that will give a monthly period. And obviously, there are lots of variations around that, but most women will have a monthly period. And that's because there's a really complicated, finely tuned feedback mechanism from the brain to the ovaries. And then at the start of the menopause transition, that feedback mechanism starts to break down a little bit. And so periods might become irregular. You get bigger fluctuations up and down of the estrogen, and that can trigger symptoms like migraine, like anxiety. And the troughs of the up and down of estrogen are deeper. And so you start to get symptoms of estrogen deficiency, like hot flushes, maybe low mood, aches and pains. But because estrogen is up and down, you might have those symptoms for a little bit and then they might go away and you feel fine. And then they come back all through that perimenopause, start of the menopause transition. And that might last on average 5 years. For a few women, it might last as long as 10 years. And then the menopause itself is like a single point in time, which is defined as having had no period for 12 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then you look back and you say, oh, no period for 12 months. That point is the menopause. And then the rest of your life is spent in the postmenopause. And that's when the estrogen level is low and it stays low. And so symptoms start early in that menopause transition, and then they can go on into the postmenopause as your body's adapting to that state of low estrogen. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's quite complicated.
No, that's really good. And yeah. Actually, I had a friend who had gone through the menopause at 22 because she was quite big, as in like she was slightly obese, and then she decided to just go the whole hog and really get into fitness. Then she went too far the other way. And then she, I think she went down to 8 stone or something. She's quite tall as well. And that was too much for her body. So then her period stopped. And then she then went into menopause because her body just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, so that might not be a permanent menopause. That's a little bit like the menopause where your hypothalamus signals that doesn't signal to your ovaries to produce the estrogen because it's under stress. But actually that can be reversed often if you start to gain a little bit of weight again, if that stress goes away. Whereas the menopause is permanent. It's when the ovaries run out of little eggs, and when there are no more eggs to release, that's when you go through the menopause. But you're absolutely right. It is like the menopause because your estrogen levels drop and stay low while you're not having periods. Yeah, I hope she's better. How is she?
Yeah, she's doing really well now. Yeah. They came back, I think, a year afterwards. So yeah. And now they're trying for a baby. So fingers crossed.
Oh, brilliant. Fingers crossed. Yes.
Yeah. And are there, I suppose what I'm going through, I think anyway, the perimenopause, because I'm 40 and my cycle is kind of all over the place. Like I'm on my period now and I am, well, it was 25 days, but the last month was 35 days. And then it kind of fluctuates between that. It's normally around 28, but then it moves around. So yeah, I think it's teetering on that. And that I suppose might then carry on for 5 years or so.
Yes, no, it absolutely might. And you might, so for some women, their periods will stop for 3 or 4 months altogether, and then they'll have one. Or like yourself, you might have a shorter cycle, then a longer cycle, then a really long cycle. It's honestly, expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
And for some women, that period of time can be really troublesome, for want of a better word, because you might just suddenly flood. And so that can be hideous, if it particularly if you're out and about or at work. So yeah, really expect the unexpected and be prepared for all eventualities.
Yes. And does it also depend on how your birth mother went through it? Will it be kind of the same that you then go through it? So I asked my mum the other day actually how she went through it and was it okay, and she said she kind of sailed through it, didn't have to go on HRT, didn't have any kind of hot sweats or anything. So then I thought, oh, maybe I will be like that. Is it kind of genetic that way?
Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. So particularly if your mum's had an early or premature menopause, that's a menopause under the age of 40, then there can be a genetic link with that. It's quite interesting also, though, speaking to the generation above us about their menopause, and sometimes because there wasn't any awareness, or so much awareness, I should say, women will often say, I had no symptoms. You say, well, did you have any aches and pains around your early 50s? Or, you know, did you find you couldn't sleep? Did you find, you know, and so when you start asking, it's really interesting. They say, oh, yes, but I didn't put it down to the menopause. Yes, but I didn't think that was a men. So it is really interesting, I think.
Yeah. And with how does fertility work with the menopause? So obviously, if you're perimenopause, will you still be able to have a baby? I suppose you've still got eggs there.
Yes, no, completely. So there are some eggs there in the perimenopause, and you might still ovulate where you pop the little egg so it's ready for fertilization with a sperm, but you might not ovulate every month. And so in the perimenopause, fertility does start to drop off quite significantly through your 40s and then into your early 50s. So by the time you're 55, even if you're still having periods at 55, we know you can stop using contraception. But if you don't want to get pregnant and you're still bleeding, you do have to use contraception up to that point. Yeah, to avoid.
That was my next question, actually.
Well done. Yeah, no. So if your periods have stopped for a year over the age of 50, that's when you can stop using contraception. Or it's usually said to be about 2 years under the age of 50. But yeah. That advice can change if you are younger, so early, under 40. But it can be really difficult if you're using a form of contraception that means that you don't bleed. So say you're on the mini pill, the depot injection, the Myrina, the implant, and you're not having any bleeding. It can be really hard to know if and where you are in that transition. And so then it's really important you listen to your body and you understand that list of symptoms. Again, that's where a menopause questionnaire has a really important part to play, because there isn't a good test that will tell you if you're in the menopause, and it can be tricky to know when to stop contraception.
Yeah. And also I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard that your bone structure can kind of soften a little bit when you go through menopause, or that you need more calcium, or that you need more nutrition. Is that correct as well?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So estrogen is really important to maintain bone density. So that's and so bone density loss accelerates as you lose estrogen as you go through the menopause. And so osteoporosis is where you lose bone density, so your bones are more prone to fracture. Mm-hmm. And to help prevent that, you're absolutely right. Taking calcium, or having enough calcium in your diet, is really important, because that's a building block of bone. And vitamin D is really important as well to help you absorb calcium and help build the blocks. And that's, you know, one of the really big positives of HRT, in that it can really significantly help prevent osteoporosis.
Yeah. Now we are going to go to a short break. See you the other side. Hey, hey! I am so excited to tell you about Zen Core Yoga. I am an ambassador for this amazing yoga clothing company, and they want to spread the benefits of yoga, because those who stick with regular yoga practice report themselves to be happier and healthier in life, like me, of course. And Zen Yoga is a Swedish clothing company that designs products for the yoga lifestyle. The company was founded in 2017 and has since then grown to over 70,000 loyal followers all over the world. And these yoga products are absolutely incredible. They are so soft. They have beautiful leggings, beautiful colors, beautiful yoga bras, and they are just incredible. And they are building deep relationships within the yoga community and have gained invaluable insights and understanding of the quality and function of yoga products. Because let's face it, you know, you just could get a cheap pair of leggings and they just go all funny, whereas these products are absolutely beautiful, really, really nice. So head over to zencoreyoga.com and in the checkout type in YogiGemma15 for a 15% discount. So go over zencoreyoga.com and it's YogiGemma15. So I will see you on the other side. And I think that's a lot of it as well. A lot of people don't really realize that, or especially like my generation, 40s and under, I don't think realize that there is a whole nother area, especially with fitness as well. You kind of maybe have to dull it down a little bit. What would you kind of say for fitness?
Yeah, fitness is also really important to maintain bone density, and it's weight bearing exercise. So if you're walking, fast walking where there's impact as you're walking or running or doing weights, so that's helping maintain muscle mass, which then in turn helps helps maintain bone mass. And a few other risk factors it's just good to be aware of. So excess alcohol can increase your risk of osteoporosis, and smoking as well. So just having a really good look at your lifestyle around the menopause is really important, because around 1 in 3 women will be affected by osteoporosis, which is a huge number as we age, 1 in 5 men. So it's really important to know about now. I'm in my early 50s, because you can do, you can make changes to your lifestyle to do something about it for the future.
Yeah. And then with also sex and relationships, does the menopause drop your libido, or does the HRT kind of do that? So how would you get around that if you still wanted sex? Is that something that you can still enjoy?
Yes, no, absolutely. So libido is really complicated, or sex drive, and it can drop off in the menopause for some women, not everybody. And some women say their libido is actually improved, and particularly as at this time of the life, children are leaving home. And so you have the house to yourself, etc., which is less inhibitory. But no, so loss of libido is quite common, and it can be as a direct effect of those loss of hormones on the brain. And it can be affected by obviously menopause symptoms, but be them physical or psychological, like low mood, anxiety, or because you started to get vaginal symptoms like vaginal dryness or soreness, or sex is uncomfortable. So all of those factors can impact, plus work and life and pressure and stress, and you might be looking after aging parents. Yeah. It's a tricky time of life for some women. So so obviously communication is key with your partner. Managing your vaginal symptoms with your doctor is really key as well. And then HRT can help libido. But if HRT hasn't helped libido, that's hormone replacement therapy, or giving back a little bit of the estrogen that you've lost alongside some progesterone. So if HRT doesn't help, then testosterone, you can add in tiny amounts off license. Okay. Because our testosterone probably slowly starts to trickle down from our early 30s. And for some women, it doesn't make any difference, but other women, it will impact on sexual function. So that can be helpful also.
Yeah. And is it what are the alternatives to HRT? Is there kind of any? Or because I know that there's a lot of talk about that it's not being produced anymore. Well, it is, but there's quite a low production of it.
So the issue is at the moment that for some types of HRT, not all HRT, the demand is out matching the supply. That is the issue. So an HRT isn't for everybody. There are lots of different ways of managing your menopause. So lifestyle changes, as I've said, cutting down alcohol can really help symptoms of the menopause as well, like sleep and anxiety, low mood. If you're smoking, stopping smoking can probably help with hot flushes. Exercise, yoga is really good. There's evidence to show that yoga can be effective in helping managing a lot of the symptoms of the menopause. Talking therapies can be really helpful, like cognitive behavioral therapy. There's really good evidence that can help psychological and physical symptoms of the menopause.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then there's all the alternative therapies like acupuncture, hypnotherapy. Some women will find helpful. Some people find herbal remedies helpful. There's medication your GP can prescribe that can be helpful that's not hormone replacement therapy. And then there's HRT. So it's really, you find your way through it. It's understanding what all the options are, because you may need a bit of this and a bit of that.
Yeah.
Move through positively.
Yeah. And can you blood test as well? Does that show the levels of where you're at right then and there, like more estrogen or testosterone? Or does it just give you a general idea of where you are at that point in your life or your cycle?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question, because blood tests are very helpful in most medical conditions, well, many medical conditions, but they're really not helpful in the menopause for most women. And that's because, if you remember what I was saying about the estrogen fluctuating erratically in that perimenopause, so you might have a blood test on one day and your estrogen level is fine, but you can still be having awful symptoms. You check it the next day and it's low. You know, it's so blood tests aren't that helpful in diagnosing the menopause.
Yeah, that's good. So then also after you've moved through that,
so then
you're postmenopausal, what would be the, not symptoms because you haven't got anything, but but how would you move on through life through that? So would you then go to do a different kind of exercise? Would you do more Pilates and yoga than you would, say, running? Or change your nutrition?
Yeah, really good question. So many women do have symptoms of the menopause, like hot flushes, night sweats, etc., as they transition through into the postmenopause. And for some women, they do linger in the postmenopause. So all of the management options that you'd think about maybe earlier in the menopause transition are appropriate to think about in the postmenopause as well. Mm-hmm. So for example, some women do take HRT in the postmenopause. But in terms of exercise, I think you just have to do what you want, you know, what you will do to keep going. Exercise is brilliant for well-being, but Pilates is great because it will help maintain your pelvic floor and the muscles of the core, so the back. Yoga, as you know, is good for all over strength, but some women prefer to lift weights, some women will prefer aerobic exercise and running or whatever. So I think as long as you're doing something and as long as you're maintaining that muscle mass, which can slowly decrease through the menopause with the loss of estrogen, then I say that that's a good thing. There isn't like one best form of exercise, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah. And with more about going back to the HRT, would you see different doctors or get different opinions, or is mostly the same opinion is what you're going to get? Like, how do I decide whether or not HRT is for me, or do I try and ride it out myself? Or like you just said, there were quite a few other different HRTs around.
Yeah, I think it's a really personal decision. I think as a menopause specialist, my job is to explain the options. There will probably be a better type of HRT for some women. So some types of HRT are safer than other types of HRT in some medical conditions. So I think you need a good medical opinion to work out the best types of HRT. And then there are sort of choices to make within that. And I think whether to ride it out or take HRT is a really personal decision. Some women really suffer through the menopause. You know, around 3/4 of women will experience at least one symptom of severe and really need some help and support through that. Whereas other women may have an easier ride, or they've got other ways of managing their symptoms and won't want to take HRT. So I think it's a really personal decision, and there's usually not one single right answer.
Yeah.
Understanding the options and then making a decision that's right for you, I think.
Yeah. And also that goes back to kind of mental health, I suppose. If you're on antidepressants, That kind of can help as well, can't it? Is that right? I don't know. I've read that somewhere. I don't know how true that is.
No, it is true. So antidepressants, like the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and the SN, so that's SSRIs and then SNRIs, can help hot flushes and night sweats. They can take the edge off, and they can help the low mood and anxiety that some women experience as they go through the menopause.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're right, they can, and some women need HRT and antidepressants. And for some women, if their mood symptoms are just due to the menopause transition, they're probably better with HRT.
Yeah.
In terms of effectiveness, but antidepressants do have a part to play as well.
Yeah. So with the mood then, from, I don't know, you could be okay 1 minute and then crying the next. I don't know how true that is either, but does that depend on if you have that during your monthly cycle, like when you're due to bleed? Some women get really irritable and upset and emotional. Would that then carry on through the menopause as well, possibly?
Yeah, no, it might. So if you have premenstrual syndrome, so yes, you feel awful in the few days before your period, then that can worsen in the menopause transition because the hormone swings can become more dramatic. But also the loss of estrogen means that the serotonin levels in your brain decrease. And that's a really important chemical in terms of maintaining mood. And there are other chemicals that are important also, like dopamine, noradrenaline and GABA. So they can decrease with the loss of estrogen. And for some women, they'll really feel that with heightened anxiety and low mood. And some women it won't. It's very variable. So so you can get worsening premenstrual symptoms, but you might get big swings of mood and anxiety also.
Right, okay, yeah. I don't really tend to suffer with that, so that's okay.
You're lucky. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do. But also, is it more accepted now in the workplace as well? Because more and more people are talking about it, but then also if you work for quite a male dominated company, it might not be so understanding.
Yeah, so the really brilliant change over the last few years is more and more companies are taking this on board and producing menopause policies and introducing the conversation into the workplace, looking at workplace adaptations and developing things like menopause cafes or drop-ins where women can get together and talk about symptoms. But it can be really intimidating, can't it, to talk to a male boss about how you're feeling, and if you don't want to admit symptoms, you might be embarrassed, etc. And that's why it's really important that the workplace are having that conversation from the top down.
Yeah.
Because we know that women are leaving their jobs, they're taking lesser roles, or they're not going for promotion because of their menopause symptoms. It's a really valuable commodity, isn't it? Really yes. Experienced women who've got all of those years under the belt and all that experience and knowledge and wisdom, and we really need to be able to keep those women there in the workplace. And because symptoms will improve, this is a temporary state of affairs, so if you can just give the support to keep women there in the workplace if they want to be, as they transition and as symptoms change and lift.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is changing. Yeah.
That's really, really good. I suppose it's like when you go on maternity leave or when you're pregnant, you do slightly less because you can't do the full amount that you were used to. But then it would depend on what you would like to do there and then, if your boss, if your employer is happy with that.
Yes, completely. Yeah. So, you know, are there sort of uniform changes that can be made, or is a flexible working just for a period of time, if you know, particularly if sleep is an issue? So there are lots of little things that can be changed that can help support somebody through.
Also, how does hair change? Because I have heard that hair does maybe get thicker or it thins, and I'm not really sure. So yes, that would be good to let us know.
Yeah, no, thank you. Another really good point to raise. So hair can change in the menopause. So with the loss of estrogen, there can be changes, particularly in the hair follicle, because estrogen is important to keep hair in the growing phase. And so some women do find that they shed hair with the changes and loss of estrogen, but also hair can change in a way that is not hormone related. So hair can change with age. And a few women will experience male pattern baldness, and it is, they don't go bald, because that sounds terrifying. It's called androgenic alopecia, but the hair thins more in a male pattern, so frontal and slightly at the sides. There are treatments for some of these, so it's worth having a chat with a doctor or a dermatologist about. And obviously stress can also increase hair shedding and cause thinning. And so if you're really stressed, if that is a particularly tricky time of life, that can have an impact also. But yeah, definitely good to have a chat with a doctor if you are shedding hair.
Wow. Yeah. And actually, when I was doing my exams, my hair was falling out. I don't get stressed as in like, my body shows it in different ways. And yeah, at one point, I think I got in the shower. It was when I was 18. When I got in the shower, and like, oh my word, clumps of hair are coming out. And that's never happened again. But also, it might be then that might happen to me in menopause. I don't know. Hopefully, because I'm not stressed now, it won't.
Yeah, no, hopefully not. I really hope not, because many women are really distressed by loss of hair. Your hair really is important for your sense of self, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I really hope that that doesn't happen, but there are lots of ways around it. So we've got some information on hair on our website, so have a look, it might be helpful.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Our face, especially, I'm quite a greasy, oily on my T area. So is it that your body produces more oil if you have oily skin, or not really?
So often skin dries in the menopause, but if you imagine in your blood you've got a balance of male hormones called androgens and female hormones, so the estrogen, and if your estrogen levels drop, relatively speaking, you've got more androgens. You haven't got a higher level, but then they can be more active. And so some women do get like greasy and acne like skin rashes in the menopause transition as the balance of hormones change as well.
Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose, because everything's balancing out, or trying to.
yeah that's right. Yeah.
And what are two takeaway points from today's conversation?
I would say, so particularly if you're not in the menopause age yet, just don't be afraid of the menopause, but just make sure you understand what all the symptoms are. So if you start to notice that you're just not feeling yourself, that there's a hormonal reason behind it. It's not your fault. It's not your personal failing. And find out and seek help. So understand all the different ways of helping, look at your lifestyle, and ask for help sooner rather than later. So have a look at the menopause questionnaire, for example, on our website, or there are lots of others out there. And knowledge really is power, you know.
Yep.
You understand what's going on, you're less likely to get into a negative cycle of anxiety about anxiety and anxiety about other symptoms when you're just not feeling yourself.
Yes, I love those.
Probably more than two top tips. Sorry.
No, that's good. And where can we find you? What's your website or your social media channels?
Yeah, so we're www.mymenopausecentre.com. Yeah, and
don't worry, I'll put the links below.
Yeah, so you put the links on. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, thank you so much for coming on. It's been really interesting.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so, so much for being here with me today. It means the world to me, and my heart is so full of gratitude right now. If you are feeling pulled to, I would love you to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever they're called, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from, whichever platform you are on. Leave a review, even do a 5-star rating if you fancy it. And yes, go and follow me over on Instagram, gemma.haley.niece, or I'm on LinkedIn as Gemma Niece. So thank you so, so much for being here, and always reach out to me. I'm always have my DMs open, as again, Instagram at gemma.haley.niece or LinkedIn, or go on my website, which is www.gemmaniece.com. So thank you so much, and I will see you again next week.